Oh, so aloha everyone and welcome. This is Taylor Call, and this evening we're very honored to have with us a special guest. Gerald O'Donnell is going to be joining us and sharing really just some incredibly profound information and insights and perspectives. So you may just want to take a moment and relax and prepare yourself and open to receive new ways of thinking, perhaps, or viewing. And, and just open yourself to new levels of information. And I just want to thank you, Gerald, for taking the time this evening to be here on the phone with us and share your insights. I know you're getting busy to travel to Israel, which is a big journey for you. And so we really just appreciate having you here and want to welcome you and thank you for taking your time to be with us tonight.
Sure, Taylor. It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, it's always an honor to have you. And so tonight, really, you know, there's, with as it is always the case with Gerald, there's many different directions we could go and discuss. So we've kind of just, I've kind of opened it up to Gerald to really share about what he felt would be, make the most difference right now in these times that we're living in and what we're all dealing with. And so, Gerald, is there any way you'd like to start in particular, or what, how are you feeling you'd like to begin the conversation?
Well, I'd like to state that it must be quite obvious to most individuals in this planet that we are a major crossroads in our evolution as a family, as a human family. And those crossroads are happening on basically all levels, whether they are financial levels, whether they are ecological levels, whether they are scientific levels, whether they are perceptions regarding what spirit is and what matter is. And then we're starting more and more to realize that everything is interconnected and it penetrates all realities. And since everything seems to be coming to a point, if you want, a juncture, where major decisions have to be made, not only by governments or spiritual leaders, but by each and every individual, I'm going to try to elucidate why all those, crossroads, if you want, point of where forks can be established, are meeting at this particular junction in history, in time.
Beautiful. That, and there's no question, and there's no doubt that most anyone on the call right now is feeling that what you just spoke of, energy, deep within them. And so that's a beautiful place to begin in, and timely conversation to have. So what, given that, how do you see, what do you see would most support people given that energy and the crossroad that we're at?
Okay, well, first of all, the first thing people have to do is to realize that they can't escape making decisions anymore. No one can put their heads in the sand and think that they're on an island in by itself, disconnected from other islands, or if you want, other bubble realities, and thinking that by they are creating a little bubble world which is bathing in a certain illusionary state of happiness.
And by that you mean, by saying they can't escape making decisions, what do you mean exactly? What sort of decisions?
Meaning
are you
that we have to understand that the world goes far beyond our little reality. It's all interconnected. It's a gigantic, almost infinite being, one being. This planet, this universe, all the universes, all the levels of universes, all the levels of creators, it's all one. And we cannot have our decisions taken without that first realization that we are affecting the totality by our decisions, that since everything is basically the totality manifested in a facet, in a personality, if you want, in a temporary fashion, that facet can and most probably has much more influence than it is aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's a
big
juncture
concept
right there for people,
yeah,
just to consider that every single action that they take, decision,
yeah,
point, choice point that they take, is affecting all of reality or all of everything.
Yes. Because in reality, before an action is taken, a thought has to arise. The thought gives possibility and then potential manifestation to an action. The thought in it by itself is the real reality. The action is what we do with that thought. But the thought in it by itself has no boundaries. I mean, you can't frame a boundary around a thought. You can't even, mm-hmm, put a time to a thought. When you're thinking about a certain thought, you're going to define how long you've been thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible. So thought is really part of the divine. It's outside of time and it's outside of space. It's bound by nothing. It just,
mm-hmm,
flows. So your thoughts, you must think, you know, I'm just thinking in my own head, which they're not, by the way, because thoughts are not located in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Those thoughts are just flowing, and as they flow, they are influenced by other thoughts, and then they influence other thoughts, and so on and so forth. You can't stop thought from existing.
Mm-hmm.
And each and every thought you have remains, even though you are not aware of the fact that you're not thinking about this consciously at that particular moment. That's how manifestations happen.
So let's just stop there for a second, because that's really good just to even consider that. That each,
okay,
and every thought that we have remains.
Yes.
Go ahead. As energy.
Yes. Well, thought, as it marries energy, if you want, manifests.
Mm-hmm.
If you energize a thought, it becomes highly creative. If the thought is not so energized, it's less, you know, the creational aspect of it is lesser, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
The thought.
So
is
that really brings up the question, how can we have dominion over our thoughts or be able to choose our thoughts? Or are we just being thought?
Exactly. That's the main question. The question is, do you want to be a slave to someone else's thought, or do you want to have original thought?
Mm-hmm.
Most individuals are not having original thoughts. They open themselves up to systems of thought that are input by their families, input by their culture, by their education, by their political system, by the countries they're born with, by the language, by spiritual system, et cetera, et cetera. So
most people are walking around having these thoughts that they didn't choose, but being lived by them, essentially.
Correct. And these are what I call the human slaves. This is the ultimate and the only form of real slavery.
And so the question then is, how can one extract themselves or shift from this mode of living, which really is being lived,
right,
to you know, being able to create their own reality or a creative way of thinking and having thoughts that aren't already given to them?
the first thing is to understand, again, is the thought originating from your point of consciousness? See, we think of ourselves as being humans with biologies, operating within a biology, okay? A cat will think of itself as being a cat operating within a biology. It has thoughts. An ant has thoughts. Everything is thought. There's nothing else but thought. The thoughts, when they are energized, they vibrate in a certain fashion, and then light is acted upon it and vibrated, you can have the illusion of operating within a box, if you want, an embodiment. It's not on purpose, so that you think of yourself as being separated from another embodiment. And then we could have a whole discussion about how this is done, because in reality it's done from the inside out, it's not done from the outside in. Your embodiment is really a projection from the inside. So is your world, your bubble reality. But the thought itself that you are having is a thought that's given by your ability to think about a certain subject. But if you have not given the ability to think about a certain environment, a certain situation, to reflect your thoughts upon, if you want. If you don't have a movie or a screen to reflect your thoughts, you would have nothing to really think about. So creation is your homework. I mean, that's where you reflect your thoughts upon. But what people don't realize is that they are given the free will to have original thought. See, thought, when it has a reflective element, like a screen in front of it, like when you watch a movie, it has the ability to start thinking about the movie and reflect upon it and have its own original thought. That is what we call consciousness.
So let's take a minute then and really distinguish consciousness from thoughts.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like they're two different things. So let's just describe what is the distinction between thoughts and consciousness, or what distinguishes.
There is no real distinction. Let's say if you are in the midst of total darkness, okay, and you have no memory banks of memories of having achieved anything or done anything, but you think, you're still thinking, but you have nothing to reflect your thoughts about. You have no imagination about anything, no images, nothing to work. Then you're just what's called pure thought. You think, but you have a problem because you need to think about something, regarding something. And the moment you start thinking about something, that thing that you think is outside of you, which is in reality a mirror reflecting you, gives you a perception of existence. In other words, if you had nothing to think about, you wouldn't be aware that you exist. You may have thoughts, but they're like floating, slow, and they're not reflecting existence yet. Consciousness is when you're, through the act of having a mirror in front of you, you become aware of yourself. It's like if you go in the morning, you watch yourself in the mirror, you go, oh, I exist, you know. This is how I look.
Mm-hmm.
So the mirror is a mirror, an illusionary mirror that's created around us. Are you there? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, is an illusionary mirror around us that allows for us to have consciousness, a perception of self. That consciousness is based upon a certain program of thought that's allowed within the so-called species we are operating within. All species that are operating in our creations have a very restricted range of thought available. The only species that was created from the beginning to be able to have the ability to think in the gamut of very low-level thoughts, if you call like basic insectoid reptilian thoughts, up to divine, totally divine creative thought, was the human. But what was interesting is that in this experiment of the human, the one allowed for his full total awareness to be restricted very, very low, that's the fall of man, into a barely, if you call it, alive entity that had no idea whatsoever that it was the one embodied, and then he could jump in quantum awareness to levels where it would become a divine creator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've forgotten that. So, but we have to realize that our thoughts are not our thoughts because of our individuations, but they're part of the thoughts of the One, of the totality of the creation. And they float in an ocean of that's what, you know, in the old Bible they called it the ocean. It's not an ocean of water, it's an ocean of consciousness. It floats. And it affects others. We don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. So when we are in a bad mood, let's say, or we are in an antagonistic mood, we suddenly see the mirrors or the entities around us starting to become antagonistic to us. Because they float, our thoughts are floating into them, and they feel this antagonism or this bad mood suddenly, and they get into a bad mood too.
If so we are in essence, we're living in this floating sea of thoughts.
That's all there is. It's the ocean.
Mm-hmm. And so now, and what do you see the opportunity of right now is, or what is from your view possible or available in being able to have this as a reality, or being able to see what it is you're talking about from a higher vantage point?
What is happening now, and now I'm talking about on a cosmic level,
mm-hmm.
is that the membranes that are separating the illusions of personalization, the illusions of individuations, the membranes, are becoming porous, very strongly so, and we are becoming aware that the membrane separating me from you, from others, is starting to fall apart.
Why is this happening? Why are at this time are the membranes softening?
Okay. The membrane that separates one reality from another reality is the way by which the one creates the illusions of the many.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are no real many, but it needs to create illusions of the many by giving this egocentric perception of reality based on certain programming aspect and a brain that will give you different perspective of reality that you see. In other words, I can be in the same room as you are, but you will see a different perspective of the room that I do. Therefore, you will never think that you're me, and I will never mm-hmm. think I'm you, even mm-hmm. though our thoughts are flowing on a subconscious level across. So you people say, I feel this, or I sense you thinking about this, or whatever. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So our focus is egocentric. It's focused on the inside. We think of ourselves as being an individual of extreme high importance, because that's all we know.
Mm-hmm.
And we focus on our individuality. The act of separation that the One has caused at all levels, not only in the human arena, but even on the Creator's arena, where every creator has become very egocentric,
mm-hmm.
that act is on the verge of being reversed, meaning that we're starting to become porous. Everything is becoming porous. In the Old Testament, which is not happened, it's all a metaphorical story anyway, this is the story of the biblical flood, meaning that what is happening is that the membrane is becoming porous, so the waters are just flowing everywhere and covering everything. It's very difficult to find dry land, which means a solid part that you could say separated from the other. Everything is flowing now. It's getting worse and worse and worse. So people are affected now by the anxieties that may be happening 5,000 miles away,
mm-hmm.
by a conflict that's happening 5,000 miles away. Do you understand?
That's really, I love what you're describing, because you can really viscerally feel and see it reflected in everything, in nature,
yes.
and the waters, and in this Hurricane Sandy, and just, I mean, literally everywhere.
Everywhere.
And, yeah.
There's anxiety in the earth.
Exactly.
The earth is it's a being. The earth is a gigantic being in which we all float.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beyond the material earth, which we think is material, in reality it's not material, there is a gigantic, beautiful being that's sustaining all of us, and in which we all live, inside, not outside. We think we're walking on the outside because that's a perception given to us inside our brain, because the brain doesn't see visually. The brain sees electrically. There is no light outside.
Well, let's just
talk
about that a
little
bit. Let's just talk about that a little bit, this beautiful being. You say a little bit more about that.
Well, the beautiful being is our mother. We are born from it. We are the children of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's one being. It has children. They manifest in perception as they think they're walking a 3D dimensional world on the outside. Their focus, the attraction, is through gravity, which is in reality the masculine aspect of the earth that's attracting all of us. It's a force which is a divine force. It's not, it's magnetic, but it's not a physical force. It's like it's somehow like a small black hole. It just attracts everything and keeps it here, around this perception here.
And so what, as this whole, everything is becoming more porous and everything is starting to flow and combine together, what do you see, where is that headed? What do you see is...
What is happening is everything is, for instance, the earth is becoming more aware herself of the damage that the children have afflicted upon the mother. She sees herself now not only at the very core of herself, but she's starting to flow into the children and then even outside of herself. And she sees herself from the outside and she realizes the damage. We are starting to flow into each other and perceiving the anxiety, because there's a tremendous anxiety because of all the those points of contention and the fractures that we've caused at all levels of ourselves, because this is what separation is. It's a fracture, you know, if you want to call it a fractal. But all those fractals that have been created in order to cause separation are coming to a point whereby the part of ourselves, because we are part of the one, the part of ourselves that's outside of this game, if you will, that still knows itself to be one, is saying, okay, if I continue with this fractalization game, you know, with this facet of mind, which is we call the dark facet, but it's not really dark, it's the way it operates. If I continue with this dark facet of mind, this creation has no future, it's finished. Not only does this creation not have any future, since all creations are interconnected because they all have membranes separating each other, which are only separations in vibrations, the fabric of creation is at risk, of all creation. So the one is saying, I need to allow now the shift to happen, which means that we are going now to see and feel each other for what we are, which is we're going to start perceiving oneness, whether we like it or we don't. In other words, you cannot sit around in an ivory tower anymore thinking that you're protected or go to a bunker, because your mind, thought, is being affected by what's happening in China, in the Middle East, in Africa, in to the animals, to other creations. It's all one now. It's floating into one ocean. It's flooding. Do you understand?
Yeah, and it's really great the way you're speaking about it, because you can really feel it. It's something that you can feel, you can sense, you can have an idea of. So the question then becomes, so now what?
Well,
you know, how
since
can
we are,
we...
this is a very difficult period at all levels of the one. Whether you're a human, whether you're a spiritual creator, whether you, especially if you're the one. Because the one itself, because at that level there is no male or female, the one itself is infiltrating now its own creation at all levels. And as it infiltrates all the creations, it becomes contaminated, if you want to call this, or polluted, by the thoughts of the programs that it had created from eons ago, but that operated within their own individuality and have evolved into what they are right now. So the one is contaminating itself. So you have the waters from above meeting the waters from the underworld. If you look at the Bible, the water from the underworld are coming up, the waters from above are coming down, and they start mixing. So there is no more pure light, you know, if you want, like good water, and there's no more pure dark unaware water. They're all starting to mix. And out of this, the hope is that a new structure, a new type of dry land will arise. Mm-hmm. How it's going to happen, I don't know. This is so cosmic because it's a very difficult process, but it's a process of cleansing and reunification of the one into oneness. But it's a very difficult process for us. But we have to understand that when we get up in the morning and we are nervous suddenly or we feel uneasiness, it's not us, and we don't have to jump to a so-called, you know, doctor or psychiatrist, because everybody's doing this lately.
Yeah.
Or use private means, or unload it on your friend or your spouse or your children. Mm-hmm. It's a generalized state. You will notice that very often people who are sensitive before, let's say, a hurricane like Sandy happens or an earthquake, sometimes a week before feel this gigantic state of depression because it's already set up to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there is pain already at the level of the mother.
Yeah, so let's just talk about that a little bit. Like, how can we, given this is all taking place, it's such huge cosmic scales, really beyond what we can even perceive.
Right.
How can we as individuals best position ourselves in our daily life, you know, knowing that we're going to have these feelings, sensations, thoughts, awarenesses of things that are so far removed from us in our individuated lives or even where we are on the planet that really don't have any control over. What is the best advice or sort of place of guidance that you could give people right now? How do we create peace with ourselves and this whole situation?
That's really the
mission.
The key. Yeah.
That's
the key. Okay. Since we can't escape that, you know, we are now not living
We're in it.
We're in it, you know. We're outside in the elements. We're camping, you know. We're in the desert. We are not anymore in solid structures, and then we don't feel the rest of the world. We're there.
And would you also say there's that this process, this sort of the one blending into the one, merging into the one in itself, and you know all that you just explained is also moving at a more accelerated rate than ever before. I mean, because one could say it's been moving into that forever,
it's not been moving forever. It was the opposite. See, the one was engineering creation. It was energizing creation. It was the mm-hmm. plug that was sending electricity to the computer or the virtual computer that we call creation. So we have this perception of world, universes, and all the realities. It just was sending freely life energy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right now, it is not only sending life energy, it's becoming aware within the computer of itself at all the levels of the computer. So it's waking
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, of course, we're talking about a gigantic entity, and the awakening is not, you know, happening in one day, but it's waking up. And as it does that, we are therefore starting to connect even more to oneness, because at the level of the one, there is no two.
Mm-hmm.
It perceives it's all of us. So as we are meeting the one halfway, because we cannot be meeting it, you know, we are, that's the ascension. We are ascending to the perception of being the one. The one is descending to the perception of being the many, whereby they meet halfway, whereby the many realize that they are the one, and then the one realizes that he is the many, not only in knowledge as an intellectual knowledge, but as a realization. You understand? That process is engaged, and we can make it easier by accelerating the perception of being the one. How do you accelerate the perception of being the one? By perceiving that everyone across you is you in a different costume, in a different, you know, facet. It's like a diamond that has like thousands of facets, but it's still the diamond. So if you understand that this is just you meeting yourself in a different gender or a different facet, and you let go of this you know, ivory tower type of isolationism, and you care for it, you're starting to vibrate yourself on the dimension of oneness that the one has naturally, and then the one has no problem then entering you in an easier way. And as this happens, we are going to reach something which is called the peace of God, not the peace of man, because the peace of man is impossible to achieve, especially now. It's not going to happen. You can have all the treaties you want or the ceasefires you try to achieve. There will be no peace of man towards man anymore, because it has to bring in the real dimension of mankind, which is this real spiritual dimension of mankind, which is that we are all one spirit. Not many spirits. We are all one spirit,
so
operating
let's just talk about this.
Many mirrors.
Yeah, so let's just talk about this idea of that seeing ourselves in everything. And that would be not only other individuals, but other countries, other circumstances, just everywhere that we would look, we would see that as ourselves. This is what
Correct.
You're suggesting.
Right, exactly. It's first of all, when you have that, you start, the element of judgment is removed from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you understand that as much as you have evolved in a certain way and somebody else has evolved in a different way, it's all because you were born in different countries with different cultures and different parents and have lived the life you've lived. And there is no right nor wrong. It's just the way it is. So the question is, how do I embrace the individual across who might have a different gender or a different color or a different religion or no religion? How do I embrace this, which is me? Well, by realizing it's you. That is not an intellectual pursuit. This is not by reading books that you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to have an IQ of 200 for that.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be, I'm sorry to say, like your dog towards you. This is unconditional love. It doesn't look at the color of your skin, the qualities that you have. It just loves you. Love is the real love is unconditional. It
mm-hmm.
just is. If you can express love towards each other naturally, without condition, without judgment, we were going to rise up in ascension towards the vibration of the one who at the level of the one knows that everything is himself, itself.
So, and this is really the key then, is to have
That's the
this
key.
Unconditional love for everything, all
yes.
living things, really.
Absolutely.
All living things. And then also, which immediately eliminates all sort of judgment, all sort of barriers of everything.
Yeah.
And naturally creates a caring for, which you said earlier. Which
yeah, that's a
that's
real
beautiful.
Caring. It's not based on finance or on accounting. It's based on a natural instinct to care. See,
mm-hmm.
let me define something here, which is going to sound a little revolutionary. The basis of man is consciousness. In other words, man does not have intrinsically, most of mankind, okay, does
mm-hmm.
not have intrinsically the knowledge of conscience, of this unconditional love, this desire to constantly share of itself freely without asking anything in return. It does not have it. It has consciousness. This is the way thought has been programmed at the level of man. At the level of the divine, which until now was the electrical input into our reality, if you want the life force, it is the opposite. It gives of itself freely, unconditionally, whether you're good, you're bad, you're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the knowledge of good and evil is something that we don't have yet understood yet. We don't understand that very well because we have not gotten control over it, because when we get control over that real knowledge, we become not consciousness. We become a high conscience. We have a high level of conscience that's built in within ourselves. We don't have to be told what to do. We don't need 10 commandments. We don't need to have level saying, do this, don't do that, because it's part of us. You understand it automatically. It's something that you would not do. You would never hurt another being, or you would never hurt an animal
mm-hmm.
because you relate to it. You know, there was a famous movie years ago, I don't remember, about this young man who was feeling the pain of an animal. You remember? Was it Powder? I don't remember.
But I think it was the deer or something.
I'm sorry? Yeah, it was a deer.
Was it a deer? Yeah.
And it was that was magnificent because he was conscience.
Yeah.
Manifest. He was divine.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes a hunter and he makes him experience what he's experiencing. In other words, he makes the hunter experience the pain of the victim
mm-hmm.
that he has just shot. And the hunter is like totally transformed and then to its core. And that is what we are engaging, all of us now are doing. And that is why all these forces, if you can call all the forces, which have been based on antagonism, which have been based on separation, which were programs that had a life of their own, but they were programs that the one intended to exist because through these programs, separation was increased through the idea that countries needed to exist, languages need to be separated, that the one had preferred rituals in the way by which he wants to be worshipped, or the idea even of worshipping, which is it doesn't make sense to worship the one. You're worshipping yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean worship? Loving the one makes sense, but worshipping the one doesn't make any sense. To be in awe in front of the one, yes. But to introduce an element of fear in this, no. But all these elements were introduced on purpose so that it increases the element of separation between entities. And they were creators, forces, operating through us, which are within us but, across us, that were creating all these elements and all these structures so that we have this idea that we are separated into bubble realities, because it made the one perceive that the many were not him. Listen to what I say. It made the one perceive that the many were not him when they were him.
Mm-hmm.
So like he was watching a movie and he could not relate to the movie, not realizing that it's really himself. It's an illusion of cosmic proportions. But since now the time has come for this whole gigantic cosmic creation to turn around, if you want, and look back towards itself within, towards the point within where it's all one, there is a need now for those forces to let go. And as like anything else, there is always there's a static point. Forces don't let go of their control that they've had for so long so easily. And until they transform themselves, they won't let go. And they're going to try to block our evolution if we, who have the real control, the free will, allow that. Because we have our own thoughts. So that's why it's important for us to think, am I thinking what I'm thinking because this is coming from my conscience as a divine being, or this is coming from my consciousness because I've read about it, because my parents believe in it, or because my group, church, synagogue, or if you're Muslim, you go to a mosque or whatever, or an atheist. Is this the reason that I believe it? Is this a program that I'm following? Or is it really coming from deep, deep, deep down from inside myself? If it's coming from deep down inside myself, then it's my thought. Most of the time right now, we still are not thinking at the level of ourselves. We're not making choices.
Right. So
we have free will, but we're not necessarily acting within conscience.
So the real mission then for us to really support this evolutionary movement is to have awareness over our thoughts.
To choose
our conscious thoughts versus consciousness that we have been given.
Yes. In other words, we are about to become real beings. It's a little bit like the story of Pinocchio.
This is an exciting
famous story of Pinocchio.
Yeah, so how do you
not
see
a real
this?
Boy yet because he doesn't know how to, he has no conscience. He's operating, but he's not conscious between good and evil, and he's getting tempted. he's not a real boy. The father, who is of course represents the divine father, he's trying to have this boy that he loves a lot grow up to be a mirror image of himself with full conscience. In other words, the creator created the creature so that the creature starts reflecting the creator fully, so that he feels love and pride and happiness when he looks at his son and daughter, which, you know, is his creation. Right now, he feels that, like he's in front of some kind of a foreign element because he doesn't understand why it has developed. But he knows that the element has developed the way it is because he created those rules of separation and those programs that caused the creature to become what it is.
Right, and so now there's the opportunity before us to really move into true beingness.
Right.
And what would you see that looking like?
When you come into true beingness, you cannot even listen to the old stories anymore. It's very painful to watch. Still, that is the reality. It becomes painful to watch the way your family is still thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't reject your family because you understand that where they are at still, and you try to help. But you don't necessarily have to convince them. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because each thought that you have, each thought that you achieve, floats in the ocean. So you can, within yourself, ask for the connection to the One.
Mm-hmm.
There is this divine voice, this very silent divine voice within ourselves, all of us, that is waiting for us to connect. It does not scream. It's very thin for now. And then when you bring your human thoughts in a level of quiet introspection, if you want, and that's what in our course we teach. We teach you to basically take, you know, it becomes reflected in EEG, an electroencephalographic trace, by seeing the brain basically going to sleep. But it doesn't mean that you're not thinking anymore. It means that you're stopping to have human thoughts, or
mm-hmm.
pure human thoughts based on programs, and that you're starting to go deeper within until you finally reach an element where you have very little thoughts. It seems slow, but it's not slow. It's the One. It's a
so the real
level
opportunity. So what you're saying is the real opportunity is that we don't have to force change or to try to push change or any of those things, but rather to just go within and by having divine thoughts influence and merge with and evolve and shift this process
right
naturally from a place of just pure connection with the One.
Correct. By having divine thoughts, you're going to operate closer to the level of the One, and the One will find a holy embodiment in your own embodiment, and you will be in constant contact with the One, at which point you get guidance, you get, of course, protection, because the One is eternal. And you get shifts are done at that point on many, many levels, including biological shifts. You don't have to attempt to have them done. They are automatically done. It's already ready. All this is ready. But all you need to do is operate in oneness. The secret is oneness. And then,
well, let's talk about those biological shifts a little bit. What does that look like?
Well, first of all, there is a process of rejuvenation. But by rejuvenation, I don't only mean that you're going to look like a 20-year-old movie star.
Oh, let's do that.
Now, you also look like a 20-year-old movie star.
There you go.
But more than that, you are going back to your root as a human. When there was not such pollution in our environment. You know, our biologies are really kept vibrating because they're really vibrational biologies. We don't see the
so
real
reality. Do we
reality.
Have that do we really have the potential of our original God-given biology?
And, of course.
And it just simply needs to be...
It's right there.
Rejuvenated.
It is, not only is it potential, it's there. It's already there. Everything,
so the potential is there. It's just all that's required is what?
Is to invite the one and operate in oneness.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you can. As you do this, your biology vibrates at the level of the one and oneness, and it becomes a, like, you know, if you look at the metaphorical story of the Bible, at the beginning they live like 990
years. Yeah, or longer.
3,000, right.
3,000.
Yeah, and then suddenly it reduces itself in ages. Well, what it really means is it means as they get further away from the one, lifespan becomes very short.
That's very interesting.
And you'll notice
that
in the Middle Ages,
sense.
40 years was like an old age already, you know?
Yeah.
Now we're getting slowly back.
Yeah.
So it's not because we are swallowing pills all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have the, you know, medical establishment jumping on me or the vitamin establishment. It's not because of that, because as a matter of fact, our biologies are poisoned to the tilt.
Mm-hmm.
With just name it. You know, it's a miracle it's still functioning. And it's only by the grace of the one that the biological entity can still function.
I mean, when you think about it, it's a miracle that it can still function given the onslaught.
Absolutely.
What human beings do to their biology on a daily basis, you know, it is a miracle. You have to think there must be some other divine situation occurring, because how on earth are people sustain themselves on, you know, Pepsi and you know, fast foods and every other darn thing.
GMO, radioactivity.
All
we're
that.
Like flooded in radioactivity, flooded with poisons, flooded with plastics.
It's
plastic. I can't even tell you what it's doing to your biology. And they know it kills you. And we're still here.
That's right.
This is by the grace of the divine who is bringing us slowly so that we unpollute ourselves, purify ourselves at all levels. And then we can, when we are finally pure, which means that the vessel is pure enough to receive the vibrational light or being, it's more than light, the vibrational being, and which is beyond vibration, of the one inside of itself,
mm-hmm.
that then everything becomes pure, and then you enter a whole different arena of operation. It's a
and
new
this
era.
Occurs automatically. This isn't, you don't have to...
Yeah,
it's not like you have to go.
Automatic. You don't have to go following a certain formula and pray in the name of this or take any supplements No. I know there are many ways to Rome or many ways to Jerusalem, many ways. That's not the point. There's only one way to the one. It's love and oneness. That's it. The rest is really accessory.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing right there. And that, you know, that's really all of it. I mean, that's the communication right there.
Yeah, that's it. It's really simple, because if it had to, how could the one create something which is based upon your ability to purchase supplements, meaning that if you're poor, you couldn't do it, you know?
That's
so
true.
You have no ability to evolve.
Or required other individuals to do this, that, or the other thing to you.
Other things, other individuals to bless you or impart upon you a special energy, or require you to do special rituals,
or really anything.
Secret, that's so-called secret rituals, or belong to an elite. That would not be part of the one. The one operates as the one, and for the one, what does the one want? He wants the many to recognize that they are one.
Yeah,
and
this
we
is
want
so critical.
The one to
I
recognize
mean,
that he's the many. We want the one to recognize he's the many. We have to invite him.
And this is so critical, because there's such an enormous amount of time, energy, resources, thought, just massive, massive volumes of information about how to reach enlightenment or purification or longevity or health or awareness or you name it, spiritual enlightenment. You know, it's exhausting. the amount of information that's on any one of those topics, if not all of them combined. And all of them have the essence or heart of it, a something to do, a something to get, a something to purchase, a something or another.
Yes. Because the first of all, it is extremely confusing, and confusion is what tires us all. When we confuse, you're tired.
Oh.
The name of the name of creation is simplicity. How much simpler can it get than one? You can't go further in the act of simplicity than one, because beyond that there is nothing. So that's all you need. Just keep it, you know, it's the KISS principle. Keep it simple, but not stupid, stupendous. The secret is right there. Just invite the one in you. You don't need books. You don't need mystical writing, because you will then understand all this. As the one comes into you and you write, you're starting to read mystical books, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the meaning behind all those, the real meaning behind all these writings, and you might be in awe, saying, wow, you know, this is beautiful. But who wrote this? And then a man will tell you, such and such wrote this. And you will say, no, the one wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
Through this man. But it was still the one. He was only writing about himself or itself at that level.
Well, and that's what begins to happen, is that you see, hear, or feel the one in all of these divine experiences or messages, or whatever it is, it will begin to all begin to blend together and look like that. Whether, you know, what by the things that we're inspired by in our environment, or what touches our heart, or what opens us, it all has at the core of it that knowingness, that pattern of oneness.
Yes.
And that's occurring more and more and more, if you look in the world. Like, even if you watch mainstream TV, that is starting to flow in more and more of that level of knowing.
And then when the barriers are not falling down, you will find a lot of people getting frustrated. Enough already, you know.
Don't
you realize that your brothers and sisters, the barriers are falling down, and
this is even starting to happen with the whole, you know, people's relationship with animals, with factory farming, with GMOs, with just all of its, you know, all of the whole of creation.
Yeah, because the oneness is not going to attack from without. You're not going to be able to get rid of GMO corporations, which are gigantic consortiums, or pharmaceutical companies, or the way the medical establishment operates, or the way the weapon industry by attacking them face to face using lawyers or no.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to happen within each and every individual that is outside these consortiums and inside these consortiums, as they decide that they want to get into the new era, get this new type of operation, get this new biology, live for much, much, much longer they can think of, and then starting to manifest things just by thought alone, because that's how the one manifests. As you get closer to the one and you meet them halfway, your thoughts manifest at just a speed that you would not believe. Sure, you need still to act, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we would think now are like incredible miracles, at that point are a commonplace. There's no more synchronicity, like, you know. It's just the way we operate.
Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful reality. And so, is that how you experience right now, Gerald? World?
Yes, on and off. Also, mm-hmm. You know, like you, I have my moments where I'm on, and I have the moments where I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we all have moments where we go back into our shell, because it's hard to watch. These are difficult moments. That's why the flood is a long, difficult operation, and the bird of peace, which is a symbol, you know, the famous dove, white dove, needs to go back and forth on basically three occasions, and then the third time, that's it. It finds a representation of dry land, and creation starts with seven creation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is happening right now.
Well, how many flyovers are we have? We have had one flyover. Where do you think we are in that process right now?
But we should potentially be in the third one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I love what you just said, is it really frees up a whole lot of energy that the change is not going to happen from without, but from within. All these massive structures, like GMOs, like this, like that, that the shifts will occur from within. From this.
Yes, they will stop doing what they're doing because the individuals who right now are operating based on consciousness. And that consciousness is based on this a separative system, which means based on power, money, position, so on and so forth. As they turn into a divine being more and more, and they become conscience, you know, they start having a conscience. Well, they will refuse to do what they're doing, and they will stop.
Yeah, the only way
of making a living, the other ways of creating bounty to humanity.
Yeah, because it's clear that these other ways are not conscious. They couldn't exist with they would not exist with conscious.
Right, with conscience, yes, they would not.
Exactly.
With divine conscious, they could not. No, but
they
of
would
course,
not.
That would be unheard of.
Yeah, and that's
so the way we massacre animals and treat
all
them
of that.
Like in concentration camps until we eat them, that would never happen.
Never.
Never.
Yeah.
So this new world, you know, paradise is at our steps. We just have to invite it into our hearts, each and every one of us, and then we change. Because this.
So why don't we talk a little bit more about that? Because I know that's really the focus. You know, you've now been able to distill this down into a practice that's very available for people and made it simple and easy. And why don't you just share a little bit about that, because I know that's really your gift and what you have to offer people.
Look, what we had to offer people was done in two steps. First, we had to offer a cookie. What I mean by a cookie, don't forget that the courses were made in 1997 and 2002.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, the idea of one and oneness was barely spoken of. Now you see it everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right. So when I introduced the word one, people would, especially in the remote viewing community, would come and say, we never targeted an entity called the one, therefore it doesn't exist. You know, things like that. They didn't even realize what I was talking about. Right now, you could find the one, yes, in old writings from Plotinus and very old writings, but this whole concept was hard for mankind to understand. Now it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I'm the only one. The one is talking through anyone it wants to talk through, because that's that's the process that's happening. So what we had to do, and what we're still doing, is that we are asking for the regular human mind to just go to a level of quietness and peace within, so that you can center yourself around the real center of yourself, which you have within yourself, which is the one. And yes, there are what you could call techniques, but they're more than techniques. We reprogram your subconscious so that the subconscious does not fight your conscious mind. Your subconscious, you hear this, does not fight your conscious mind when your conscious mind wants to consciously reconnect to its source. Because the problem was within the subconscious. That's where all those so-called dark forces are operating.
Mm-hmm.
But when these dark forces are hearing the how important it is and to reconnect to the one and the power that exists there and that it will not disappear, they themselves start shifting. And that's done on a subconscious level. And then what you start having is your conscious mind, as your brain quiets down, as your what people have called the monkey brain, as the brain quiets down and reconnects to the levels that are close to source, you become vibrated and vibrating at a level that is meeting the one halfway. And then you start realizing that your life is totally changed because reality starts manifesting itself on the creator's level, not on a program level. So that when you walk your life, you become aware that most of what you have created is your creation. Most of what you have experienced is something that you have wanted to experience or that you caused yourself to experience. Because there is no real judgment in the one, but there are consequences to actions. The big mistake humanity made is that they thought that the one is judging us. No, the one is not judging us, otherwise we wouldn't have free will. He would have made us without free will. The one wants us to understand that to each thought, there is therefore an action. The action will become manifestation. Manifestation will then cause a reaction, and there are consequences to that. That's where the level of conscience comes in. So as we're experiencing deep down and in a powerful way our ability to connect to the One, we heal ourselves. We go back to our real source. We go back to our real origin as young people, if you want. And we become the star of our show, not only physically, but the star of our show spiritually and experientially. We become who we were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We become the beloved of the Father Mother. That's a purification insight. And then eventually we can invite the One inside of us, and that's really when the Holy of Holies is manifested inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was and still is the purpose of the Course. And as you can see, a lot of people, I've had people who really were in a totally different mindset. I've had people that were soldiers, people that were, and that started healing others, and then started, they were like totally transformed from that. And once you've gone back and turned around, that's it. That's where your focus is. You're just trying to reconnect because you're going back home. Home is a good place to be in, you know.
Oh, well, and it's the place that everyone is longing to be.
Yes.
There's a longingness or a sense of that.
Exactly. And I don't care if you can be a billionaire, you know, you could be the head of a nation. If you don't have that connection, you still long to go home.
Yeah.
Your soul is not complete. Your soul is in exile. And as your soul is in exile, it is in pain. Because all the rewards in the material world cannot replace the sensation of being within the house of the Creator and the feeling of being there, because it's beyond the beyond. And this is where we're all heading. I mean, whether we like it or not, we are all heading there now.
Yeah, I like what you just said, beyond the beyond. That's really it, and there's not a whole lot of words to describe that except what you just said.
No, there is no word, because it's an experience of you rejoining yourself.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the real, what I used to call the Jerusalem within. Jerusalem means the perfection of yourself. When you rejoin the One, you're rejoining yourself. You become the Jerusalem within. You cannot separate it. As long as it's separated, you're in exile.
Yeah.
Right now it's fractured everywhere, on the verge of fracture. And that's our only reason to exist. It's for the one to allow himself, itself, because, you know, to think that the many exist for a while, and it is for the many to allow themselves to think that they exist, but to desire to become the one again. We are going towards each other, and then we meet. We don't merge totally, because then we would disappear. Most people, that's the fear they have. They think that they're going to die. No, you don't die. You live in pure oneness because you meet the one halfway. You have that perception within, but you're still operating with this individuality. And then the one is experiencing, not only watching the many, is experiencing them, the many, and we are experiencing the one, not just watching it or praying to it.
Mm-hmm. And it really is, it really just comes, it is that experience. That's what it's about. It's not conceptual, it's not...
No. This is the only reality there is, that can be, and there will ever be. There's no other reason for creation to exist.
Yeah.
This is the in-breath and the out-breath of creation.
And so this is a really different way to look at what's happening right now. You know, a lot of people are organized around this 2012, the end of the world, the end of the Mayan calendar, all this and this and that. But from this perspective here, this could be, this is a really fantastic, amazing opportunity that we have.
Exactly.
Is this coming to meet the one, and inviting the one in, as you said, and living in beyond. So there's a whole...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's just a whole... In this way of viewing everything, there's ultimate freedom. There's ultimate power.
And you know what? The ultimate power is a gentle power.
Mm-hmm.
Not a forceful power. That's real power. It's a loving power.
Yeah. This unconditional loving, taking care of,
exactly,
energy.
Which is when the one shows his feminine aspect coming in. Not
yeah, feminine. And this is the feminine that people are speaking about.
That's correct. What in many traditions is called in different names. That's the feminine, meaning that's the embracing, non-judgmental aspect that comes, and then that just embraces all of the creation and all the children. Harshness,
so,
in a way.
I mean, as you head off to Israel, what is your mission there? I mean, is this the message that you're taking with you? And what is it that has you journey to Israel right now? It seems a timely place to be going.
You know, as below, so above, as on the so-called outer material world, so inside, it's all related. So when there is forces, call it energies or archetypes, that are still having a problem with the process of unification, not only is the outer Jerusalem at risk, but our inner Jerusalem is at risk, and that's why there's so much anxiety, because they are connected. It's hard for me to explain to you, but there is what you think is a planetary body as a material world is not really connected as such. It's an informational field,
mm-hmm.
But it's that planetary body has areas where the one connects to that planetary body. And used to connect until now. And that connection is going to spread out. If you want, Jerusalem is going to spread out until the whole planet becomes it. If you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So there are, what I will probably be doing there is bringing, again, flooding the earth with energies coming from above, and then there will be energies coming from below that will meet the energies from above halfway, and then they will cooperate, hopefully. The meeting is important.
Mm-hmm.
It's a meeting point. It's a portal. And I'll be frank with you, I usually don't know what I'm going to do until I'm there.
Well, there it is.
It's always like that. I get there and then suddenly, boom, I'm told what to do.
Well, how did you make this connection with the one, Gerald? I mean, people that may be listening to this interview might be curious about that. I mean, why don't you just say a little bit about that?
I went deep within through introspection. It had nothing to do with reading anything.
Mm-hmm.
Until one day I just had a gigantic experience where I saw the real background of creation, which is vibratory light, where an infinite ocean of vibratory particles, infinite. And I became part of that. There was no material world anymore. The brain translates that, my brain translates that into the perception of a room, of a street and everything. But in reality, that was the area we have in front of us, but we don't see it because it needs to be translated by our brain into a perception of a material world. And from then on, the connection was at my level done. It was probably there before, but it was done, and then things started happening, and it's a long story.
Well, it's a good story, and
it's a good story. It's a story that everybody. It's our story.
It's. I was just going to say, it's a story that we can all have.
Right.
And
we should.
Do
it's
have.
Our story. Yeah.
And so the opportunity now is to open to really connect with that story, and that energy and that essence, and to begin living in those states.
Yeah, because. Again, it's a loving energy that will not let go of its embracing us. It will embrace us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a mother that wants its children back. Will it let go of its children? No. You know, it will do what it takes to get the children back and get their attention. And that's why I'm always begging when there was a gigantic event, you know, natural event, to understand that nature is the one manifested. Nature is the feminine aspect of the One.
Mm-hmm.
It's not controlled by man. It's controlled every single millisecond in nature. Every single aspect of nature is controlled by the One because it requires a gigantic intelligence of levels that we cannot even perceive remotely, by far bigger than just having one biology, to control all the elements of creation and the perfection that it shows. And it also reflects nature, our own nature as humans. So until
yeah,
now,
I mean, if you just look at our biology,
yes,
and all of its many processes, it's too vast to even really consider.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that have these thoughts that there's these forces controlling nature, or you know, giant machinery, this, that, and the other thing. But to have that perspective that the One is nature is an immediate way to connect with that
yes.
life force of that energy. And
that
that's why people and people do routinely have that experience when they really are in nature, when they go out and submerge themselves in nature. It's an immediate return to themselves in that relationship.
That is correct.
Guaranteed.
Because there are many universes. Even in physics, they recognize that now. It's not, you know, as you said that 20 years ago, maybe they would have thought that you needed some pills. But right now, it's part of established physics. There are even proofs of it. I mean, they can see elements, you know, particles coming from other universes and then disappearing. So they know there are different universes, parallel universes. The element of nature is one. In other words, the One vibrates nature for all the universes at once. It's its point of connection. And that was done on purpose so that the element of mankind, in which there are mankinds in different creations, it's called differently, but these are types of mankind, understand, that have free will. So that nature does not have free will. in the way we have it. In other words, nature operates in perfection.
Mm-hmm.
But nature also reflects in each creation the nature of the creation. In our creation, our nature, if you want, our elements of nature reflect the element of power of the stronger eating the weaker, of cleansing of the elements through predators, things like that, because that's how we operate it. People who have studied that, like Darwin, looked at that and they go, oh, well, that must mean that we came from a little cell who then decided to grow into a piece of meat, and the piece of meat just one day decided to think. I don't understand that very well. I don't know who created the DNA. Did the DNA create the meat or the meat created the DNA? But anyway, but what it really reflects is the way by which we operate. When we shift, and you will see this, and this is the so-called prophecy, when we shift, nature, the natural world, will operate in one and us two. So you won't see the lion eating the gazelle anymore. It will operate differently.
What would you see?
I don't know. It's going to be beautiful. I have no idea. They probably maybe eat grass. Maybe we'll all become breatharians, or we'll become vegetarians. I have no idea. But everything has to reflect everything else. We are all mirroring each other. But, you know, and as we destroy nature, as we're doing it right now, which is God manifest, you know, and interestingly enough, the ones that seem to have almost more of an inkling to destroy nature are the ones who believe in a so-called spiritual system. You know, they have some spiritual guidance, and they think that they're here to control nature and destroy it, which doesn't make sense because they're destroying the living God, not writings. They're destroying the living God in front of them. So when we destroy nature, we're just reflecting our destructive, separative element where we think that nature is to be just abused. And this cannot exist in a world where we're expressing oneness, we realize the oneness of it all. It just wouldn't be there because your heart wouldn't be able to do this to an animal. You would never go hunting, ever. You probably would never eat an animal. There's no need for that.
Yeah, it's interesting. There just really is no need for that.
No. The biology produces all the protein from amino acids. You don't need that.
Yeah.
But we do. And we have done until now. So all this requires a shift, but that shift has to be a gentle shift. Nature tries to be as gentle as nature can be. But nevertheless, nature is a very, very powerful element, and it's still operating in the element of power right now. And we are given warnings after warnings after warnings through nature so that we wake up to the reality that the One is here. But as you can tell, there are elements whose ego, human ego, is so strong that cannot accept the fact that a so-called creator would interfere in the creation, and they start inventing stories as to, you know, humans manipulating weather or humans doing this, and it's all a conspiracy of some secret groupings of who knows what. You know, it's like as if humans could reach right now the element of intelligence of the creator, which is totally impossible.
Totally.
It's like they can't even create a flower out of thin air. How would they control all creation? They're unable to control their financial systems. So basically, you know, we have to watch the warnings and then turn around, become gentler to each other, gentle to ourselves, first of all. Start depolluting our biology, start depolluting our minds. Stop reading all those stories, fear stories, and old stories, and then never take revenge on anybody else based on something that already has happened, because it's the old story. Why would the one want to take revenge upon himself when the one is more than anyone aware that the core systems that we are operating with were created by elements of the one that he allowed so that this separation can take such acute levels, you know, sense of separation. That's why so many parallel creations come here to visit, because it's a tremendous experience to feel separation to this level. It's a very interesting experience. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not used to that.
Well, we've certainly had a lot of those experiences.
Yeah, I think we've paid our dues right now.
I think there are many variations on the theme.
Yeah, many variations of the same theme throughout history, and enough conflicts and enough pain and enough wounds.
Suffering.
I mean, it's not only suffering of the body, it's suffering of the soul. Our souls have been scarred. You know, we have the whole creation is having advanced PTSD now. Right now.
Yeah, deeply.
And the one knows that. That's why the one is coming now forcefully and saying, okay, that's it. This cannot go on anymore.
Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's some fantastic story there, Gerald. And I really appreciate you sharing in the way that you do, and your... Your way in which that you can describe it is really, you can really feel it. You can have a experience of it. You can, we can really begin to see that we make things way so complicated, and that it can be a simple process. This unconditionally loving, feminine, nurturing and caring for energy. This invitation to connect with our divine selves is really the key.
Exactly.
And it doesn't need to be any more complicated than that, although it we have made it quite complicated. And that fear is an immobilizing factor. And
yeah. Fear is our enemy and our friend.
Yeah.
It was used as a tool. It was a creational tool, very powerful creational tool.
Very powerful.
Very powerful, and it's still used until today. You know, if we that's why I always I'm worried about if not enough of us, because we operate within a system of additive power. If not enough of us wake up to the realization of oneness, fear might still be used. Not because, God forbid, the one or elements of the one want to punish creation. It's because the one doesn't have the luxury of waiting much longer, because the structures within creation would collapse. Even, you know, they're really teetering on the verge of an abyss, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
really critical. This is a critical time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you see even in the U.S. with this so-called financial precipice or whatever they call it, that they're teetering on. It doesn't have to happen.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have to happen. If they realize it's all about sharing, it's all about oneness, if they're all one family, this is solved in a minute. Money is an illusion. It's paper. It's an electronic entry.
Yeah.
But it's that lack of realization, the desire to remain powerful, the ego, the old systems, this is blocking us. So there are two ways. You either go through painful situations and then hopefully you wake up, or you don't have to do any of these painful situations. None. If we rejoin oneness, there will be no earthquakes. There will be no gigantic elements in creation that will collapse, and we will have bounties almost immediately. And if we need to take the pollution in our bodies and all this, that will be done for us automatically. We will change biologies. Everything will disappear. What we think has to remain radioactive for 100,000 years may just not be there in the next morning. But it requires us to meet the one halfway.
Yeah, and this is really what there is to do right now. And, you know, and So do you want to just, is there anything that you'd like to say in, by way of next steps, by way of guiding people, you know, to that, the place of being able to meet the one halfway?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, that's what we've said all along, but just, you know, just to really leave people with the next, with some real tangible steps. I mean, they can certainly go to your website, but just how would you like to...
Well, the only tangible step we've done is the messages, the vibration of the messages, the vibration of the course when you listen to it, the fact that your subconscious, which is where there is an area of your subconscious which is between, which separates the one from you, where humanity has all those dark forces operating. What you call dark meaning unaware. They're not black, they're unaware. When you can speak to them, you can reprogram them, you can enlighten them, you can invite them, not repulse them, not attack them, you invite them, because they're you. And then if we all do this work, whether it's through what I'm teaching, whether it's through anybody's teachings, but just with this focus in mind, that's it. This is going to be a magnificent creation in a very, very, very short time. If we don't, by the rules of the one, it's going to be sadly painful. And it need not be so.
Yeah, so that's really the choice point that we're at, and
that's
if
the
there's a
in 2012.
If there's a end to the Mayan calendar, any of these things.
This is it.
Yeah.
You know what's the end of the Mayan calendar? I'll tell you what it is. All these 2012 crossword. It's the end to the programs that were based on separation, on control, on confusion, on worshiping deities that they should not have never been worshipped, and so on and so forth. So it separates men from men again. On the idea of sacrifice, you know, whether it's sacrificing animals or sacrificing beings, brought even to the level of really killing them. We're not here to sacrifice anything. The one does not want us to sacrifice ourselves to anything. He wants us to be happy in creation and be gifted the bounties. All those points are coming now to an end.
Yeah.
The old programs are all blowing up. They're imploding. They're not exploding. They're imploding. All of them. And with the new element that's starting now is that the one is penetrating creation from having been a female coming from the element of nature, penetrating creation, and turning into what you could call an active male. So it's going to be male and female. It's going to be active, not just an electrical plug that gives life and lets things happen. It will be actively involved in correcting things, in helping us, guiding us. So we are going to be now able to be in contact with our source. We're going to be able to go back home and realize that home is where we came from originally, and home is where we would definitely go back to, and home is here, not there. It's here. You know, people go, the mother, you know, that's home. We're going back to the mother, which is in reality the father. They're both the same, depending on how they act.
Yeah, and this is really a beautiful, beautiful end to the story and the beginning of everything.
It's the beginning of creation.
Yeah.
As I told
and
you.
That, you know, if it, that is what the 2012 situation holds as a possibility,
right.
As a probability.
Right.
And it really is in our hands.
Yes.
And this tipping point, and you know, if this is the third flyover, so to speak, of the dove, you know, this is it's our opportunity to create this landing point, this new land.
Yes. The new promised land, the real promised
land. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. And you know, that kind of handles everything right there. That takes all the conspiracy theories, this, that, the we better stockpile, we better do this, we better that. You know, it really just simplifies it down to
here it is. Yeah, I would invite everybody that has all those fear theories, whether they're actually, you know, they're present ones that they read on the internet or they're old ones, just have in your mind a gigantic toilet and just flush it down. Just don't even think about it. Just flush everything down. Every time it comes to you, just activate the flush, flush it out, and just think of the one beauty, nature. Just look at nature. It's magnificent.
Oh, magnificent.
And it can become 100 times more beautiful if you wouldn't just have taken away from its beauty so much. Look at beauty. Don't look at all these crazy stories. Just flush them down. Let them go. And they will disappear.
That's great. Is that what you do yourself, Gerald?
Yeah, I'm flushing a lot.
Good for you. Well, we'll certainly go forward with that image. And, well, you know, I really appreciate you just sharing in the way that you do and just your relationship with the one and nature is very clear. You can feel it. You are that vibration. And having the opportunity to listen to you talking about it is just completely inspiring and enlightening, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this, and really just everything that you are doing, you know, your journeys to add to that ocean of thought in the way that you are is such a contribution, really, and I really, really appreciate it, and really invite people to explore your work and your courses by visiting your website, which is probable.
Go ahead,
Gerald. You can say. You probably say
it. You're saying probablefuture.com in one word.
Yeah.
And it will
and
be
there. You can see messages, past messages of Gerald's, and videos and little doorways into, but really all of it is doorways into this connection that we've talked about here in this interview.
Yeah, and I want to say one thing, because you remember we discussed this before. You know, there are messages that come from me, from my level, my level of operation, but the message where I said this is a direct message from the one. When those messages come out, I don't speak. I'm unconscious, and my persona is unconscious. I have a, you know, like a tape recorder or something. I'm totally unconscious, and then the words come out. I have no idea what comes out.
So you're not a conscious channeler?
No, not at that level, no.
That's interesting.
As a matter of fact, usually when this is about to come, I can't speak for quite a while. I lose the ability to speak. You know, I can barely whisper, and people cannot hear me. So my voice is gone. So, and then the one comes through. And what I've told you tonight, you will find this in the messages of the one. I mean, this is, and you'll find this in all the messages of the one throughout history or throughout cultures and the real messages. Because the real messages of the one only talk about the one, about oneness. You will never find a message of the one that talks about aggressing others, killing others in the name of the one, or convincing others that that theory is better than the other theory. That's not coming from the level of the one. That's coming from facets of the one that are already operating in darkness. You understand me?
Yeah, I definitely understand you.
But they operate in darkness because they are still operating within the program of separation. So they ask for revenge, violence, you know, battles. That's not the one. The one would never ask for that. Never even talk like this, because how could he do this? It's like saying, you know, my disgusting foot has been bothering me for so long. Here, I'll go and I'll cut it off. You know, it's my foot. I need it.
Yeah, and it's like being again in nature. There's a level of purity and connection that cannot be disputed, that cannot be questioned. It just is.
Nature, it just is, yes. And I teach that in the course. I tell them if you if If you want to connect to the one, talk to trees. I mean, there's a lot of information on that course, and one of the most important parts is bypass humanity, bypass that level of the subconscious, which is filled with archetypes and stories and all this. Go talk to nature. Nature is the one manifest. There is, it's above. It vibrates on a much higher level than humankind.
Yeah, much higher.
It needs to coordinate so many more operations that the vibrations have to be much higher. Okay. And then when you connect to nature, all you need to do is connect to nature. Ask. I mean, I've done this to people in 1 second. I ask them, here's a tree. Is it male or female? And they will go, male. And I say, you're right. And then I would say, ask the tree to connect to the highest level you can within the one. And then they will be surprised. Suddenly they're starting to realize that they are connecting to a level of wisdom that they are not used to connecting to. And they're getting the information through that level. Because you're talking now to the feminine aspect of the one on a very high level.
Yeah, that's great. And what you're saying is so... It's so true. It happens instantaneously. There's no thought required. There's no knowingness required. It's just a immediate connection to the one that does occur. And people are probably always surprised by the level of instantaneous download of information that they get, I'm sure.
Always.
When you ask them those questions.
Yes, they're surprised, or they very often ask me, am I talking to myself? I said, of course you're talking to yourself. But the level that's talking to yourself is a level of the one that's much closer to source than your regular operations.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's a pretty simple, efficient way to get people, to have people have an experience of that connection, Gerald.
Yes, they do. You know, there are many aspects of this, but this is the most important aspect. And if I may say, and I don't want to, now I'm going to get into trouble because I'm used to getting into trouble. Don't watch nature on TV, in the National Geographic Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Just go out and take a trip, go outside to parks, and it's real conscious. It's real consciousness, and just be in touch with it, you know. Get close to animals, get close to trees, get close to different regions of the world that are beautiful. Experience them, what we still can experience them right now. And it shouldn't be done on a flat channel. I think people used, before the advent of cable TV and so forth, people used to commune to nature much more than they do right now.
Oh, so much more.
So much more. People used to cross the United States walking. I still remember the 70s and the 80s. I mean, it was a holy act to connect to the earth.
Yeah.
And we've lost that.
Just everything. Just people don't even look up anymore. You know, before people used to be, their lives used to evolve around the planets and the stars and the sun and the moon, and now people don't even look up.
They don't look up.
People don't even know about
what.
People don't even see stars.
They don't. Like the pollution is there, and if you would take half the stars away in one night, I don't think people would realize that they're missing.
No, I don't think so.
I think it's time to let go of the digital world and go to the real world.
That's a beautiful suggestion right there, and very potent. And it's true. I mean, it's interesting. The other day I was sitting in the car just watching people leave the store, and almost to the person, everyone was looking down at their iPhone.
Yes.
And they weren't looking even at each other or about them.
That could be a whole conversation. This is creating a matrix within a matrix, but we can discuss that. This is really serious right now.
Yeah, and so... And it's true that nature is just there waiting for us. All we have to do, I often say to people, all you have to do is walk outside your door, and you're instantly immersed in infinity.
Yes, infinity.
Boom! And then, there you are. I mean, that's a wonder in and of itself.
Yeah.
And then if you take one or two steps, exactly. And then if you just take it one or two steps more to actually, like you say, look at a flower or connect to a tree, or I mean, these are profound opportunities.
Yes, if you can swim in the ocean.
Oh, well, you're.
I mean, how many times have I had days where lately the energy is low? You know that there is a lot of sucking of our energy because such certain elements are afraid to come up to the surface and they're sucking our energy in order to survive. They're like fighting with this. Don't go see your doctor. Don't take pills for that. It will never help. As a matter of fact, a lot of people that take pills end up being more suicidal. Just please, just go outside, be in touch with nature, go swim in the ocean if you can, you know, climb up a mountain, go skiing, anything you can do, and then you will just revive you because that energy is live, godly energy. It's not a vitamin or a chemical. It's live energy, but not just like low-level energy, high-level energy. And we, as we reconnect to it, we start respecting it more, and then we don't accept it being destroyed. And it's a whole framework that changes in humanity. We had this not so long ago. We were creating national parks and so forth for future generations. Then came some companies because we were starting to go into the digital world. And we said, hey, who needs to connect to this? We can watch it on TV. You cannot connect to God on TV.
Yeah.
Or in the book.
Yeah.
Impossible.
It's so true. I mean, it really is the best prescription for any ailment whatsoever is
yep.
to submerge yourself into the natural world or a natural body of water or, you
yeah.
know, connect bare feet on the sand or the earth. All these things are just an instant infusion of who
yeah.
we are.
Yeah, when you eat live food, which is, you know, comes from the earth, it's still not cooked, you feel that energy to a much lower level, but it's there.
Yeah,
we need that. We need to be in communion with our Creator.
Yeah,
we need that. We have to walk halfway, and it's going to happen. You know.
Yeah, and so these are simple, immediately available for free solutions. So there's
yeah.
not a question of having no money or no this, that, or that thing. You know, everyone, even if you're in a city, you know, you can get in contact with beauty.
Nature.
In fact, sometimes even more so, I can always, you know, it's just astounding to me, you know, the little gardens people create and these just little paradises that are everywhere if you're looking for them.
Yes. And we always knew by nature, you know, it was, not so long ago, but they always were creating these little parks and gardens, and then people, whenever they wanted to rest or relax or have a romantic encounter, would go to a park. That was a natural element to bring love and to fuse into the eternal. We understood that. Humanity always knew that. You know, if you look at the story of Christmas, don't cut the tree, bring him to your home, but just go to the tree
mm-hmm.
when he's still alive. You know, it's still there. You know, nature is our source. And it's not to be disrespected in the way by which we disrespect it now.
Yeah, and we all right now can really bring, you know, I know myself when I go to water or a spring, I always just spend a lot of time in appreciation and love and, you know, reconnection and just
yeah, we
making
do.
Peace with that whole situation
yeah.
of the abuses of the past. And so that there's just this really, you know, in each and every opportunity that we have in connection with nature to raise the whole vibration even higher just because of our appreciation and our connection that exists there. And so this alone is a act of great conscience.
Yes. And an act of grace, really, of saying thank you, you know, because
yeah.
we are being fed by nature. Nothing else is feeding us but nature.
Yeah.
And we should commune with that and then be in touch with it. And then as we are communing with nature, we're bringing, again, we're meeting halfway. We're going to meet halfway to one.
Yeah.
But we have to do it as we are in nature, go within and then talk to it. You know, people go, well, I'm going to get locked up for this. No, no, you're not going to get locked up. You don't have to talk loudly. Just talk within. Stay quiet.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that suggestion, really. And that, I mean, the riches that are there are just
there's no price to that.
Yeah, it really isn't.
You know, you
so.
You know, I just want to say, you know, if you've ever gone to a place where they've injured nature, like quarries and mines and all these things, you can feel the pain. I mean, the element of the earth
absolutely.
Is like deeply wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not even talk about what has happened with the oil spills and so forth, and then the fracking, and I mean, every year it's just getting worse. You know, we have to turn ourselves away from the digital world and go to the real world. It's enough.
Yeah.
We are putting ourselves at gigantic risk, and I mean in serious risk,
mm-hmm.
because we're losing our life force.
Yeah, and that's where it exists.
Yeah. Exactly, and it's always for free. The one always is unconditional love, gifted freely. No conditions to that. That's why nature represents the one.
Yeah, and that's so, I mean, it's so key to just underscore that.
Yeah.
And that's always a big clue. You know, that's how I feel when I stumble upon wild foods. You know, just like, wow, that's, this has got to be the best food ever because it's being offered for free.
Yes.
You know, and you have to imagine, and it really is. You eat wild food, and it's, well, whoa. And first of all, you don't hardly need anything at all.
Exactly.
You know, you eat two or three handfuls of berries. It's like, all right, well, that's enough. I've had what I need.
Yes.
And that, you know, just that experience, the comparing that to agro-biz foods, you can see the gap right there.
Yeah.
So those are the real opportunities and connections that it's up to us, you know, those listening to this call, to really start to make as priorities in our lives and organize ourselves around and share with others and just increase the ocean flow of that.
Yes. By the way, on our course, the last CD in the remote influencing course, as you're going into Delta, which is a level usually reserved to sleep, but you're conscious, meaning that your human mind is basically not there anymore, is emerging with the core of Mother Nature at the level of the Earth, which is very, very, very powerful.
Mm. And which one is that? Where would they
last
find that?
Last CD in the remote influencing course, and an explanation of how important she is for us and how we should merge.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Because
it's been really great spending this time with you, Gerald. Is there anything else you'd like to just say before we
just close? Love. And be loved is free. And the only way.
It is the only way. It is the only way.
Yeah.
It's the way.
The way, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, again, I really thank you and I encourage people to visit your website, which is probablefuture.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to, you know, perhaps future times to connect with you, maybe after your visit
to Israel. My trip
that would be great to just reconnect in and hear your perspectives on that journey. But right now, you know, we now can reconceptualize this whole, you know, 2012 situation and where we're at and all this fear and hold it in a whole different light now out of this conversation, and that's really priceless, and see this time for the magnificent opportunity that it is of creating a whole new land and heaven on earth in ways that we really were, is our birthright.
Absolutely.
And is who we are.
Yeah. It's our birthright. Very well. That's our birthright as a divine being. We were born here is to get these magnificent fruits that we are about to be gifted. Just we need to invite them in our hearts. That's all.
Yeah.
And invite oneness. It is not difficult.
Yeah, and it's not, and it's all free. So.
Yeah, that's right.
There you have it. There's
the special
eliminated all any possible barriers to that have now been eliminated.
Absolutely.
So that should be good news.
Yes.
So, well, thank you very much again, Gerald. It's really a pleasure, and you're just a real gift, and it's an honor to be able to have this opportunity to spend
thank
with us. And I look forward to future opportunities.
So are you. Thank you very much.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha to you.